So the epistle for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain unto this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. Please stand. The gospel is taken from Mark chapter 7. At that time Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Please be seated. I have created thee without thee. I will not save thee without thee. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thought I'd take this opportunity again to help us to understand, with the pilgrimage coming up, the importance of an event such as the pilgrimage for us. It is an opportunity that we can walk, to show our faith to the outside world, to the people that are around us, to our neighbors, to the people, for them to see our faith by our prayers, by our songs, our meditations, by the silence, the recollection that we have. And so it's important for us to put that into practice. But then also, in some of my spiritual readings, I came across, in a way, kind of a meditation that talked about the shortness of life. The shortness of life in terms of how do we live our life. So it was the reminder through this reading that God has given us a certain amount of time. God knows from all eternity, even a sense before we were created, He knew exactly how long we would spend on this life, in this world. And so He has determined that. And then for us, as we are born into this world, it is up to us to put that into practice. To realize that the time that God has given to us must not be wasted. And that is why then when we think about the shortness of time, I mentioned to you, I believe two Sundays ago, that we talked about being a pilgrim, a wayfarer in this life, that we're just passing through. We're passing through in this life to get to the next, which is eternity. In eternity, we realize we can't fathom it in a sense. But with eternity, there is no end. I mean, just as I say for us, there is a shortness of life. In comparison to eternity, life is short. And so from that, we have to realize that. We have to take advantage of the time that God has given to us. The opportunities that God gives, the graces, the merits that God offers to our souls. And that is something that we will be held accountable for. You know, as God creates us, as I say, He knows exactly how long our lifespan will be. And He knows the times and the opportunities that we're offered grace. And He also sees when we lose out on that grace, when we turn our back on the graces that are offered to us. And so, as I say, it is something that we will be held accountable for. But I think if we try to keep before our mind that there is an end to our life at some point, we know not the day nor the hour. If we keep that always before our mind, why would we sin? That is why some of the saints, St. Francis of Assisi being one, he kept a skull on his desk. For him, it was to contemplate that there is a death. It was that reminder to him. And maybe to the world, maybe to outside people, we would think that's morbid. But for him, the importance of always keeping before his eyes that we are dust, and upon dust we shall return. That was a help for him then to become a saint, a great saint. One that because of the virtues that he practiced, he was very, in a way, very similar to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the virtues, he followed and he patterned himself at the model of our Lord. And so for him, it took that, to have that before his eyes. But for us to meditate and to think about that, to think about the fleetingness of life, that we are just pilgrims passing through here, awaiting our final reward, God willing. And that is why with the pilgrimage, it is a good reminder to us of this walk that we make. As I say, whether it's 1 mile, 50 miles, or somewhere in between, it helps us to see that. It gives us that understanding that we are walking toward our goal. In this way, for us, it is the Shrine of Mother Cabrini. But as we walk to that goal, it should give us a glimpse of what walking toward heaven should be like for all of us. Yes, there is the pains, the sufferings, the difficulties that we undergo, we endure for the glory of God. But then think of the achievement that we can make. As I say, regardless of how much we walk, how we help in it, but taking a part in it, the achievements that we make from that, in working toward our eternal salvation. And that is the purpose of our life. That is the end that is given to us. Nothing else matters. Because that is what God will then hold us accountable for. How did we spend the time that is given to us in this life? Have we wasted it? Or have we put it to good use? And so that is why it's important for us when we look at a pilgrimage itself. It is done for the glory of God. It is done for certain intentions, for graces to be received, for family to convert, in reparation for our sins. Because we need to look at it as that's what we are doing when we are walking. As we take each step, we can say in a way, it is trying to repair for the sins and the damage that we have done to God. That is why it's necessary for us to have a recollection when we make a pilgrimage. That we understand what is the spirit behind making a pilgrimage. It is not simply of just saying, well, I made 50 miles. I walked the 50 miles. I completed it. Great. It's not just that. If you do it, be thankful to God. You must be in good shape. But we can't look at it as that is the goal, that is the end of just walking the 50 miles. The goal for us is to be recollected, to have a spiritual help with these 50 miles, with these 2 days that we walk. That is what is important for us. That is why we would take on a pilgrimage. For the glory of God. For our eternal salvation. And so that is why if we understand properly the spirit behind it, we will utilize and take advantage of the time that God has given to us. And so whether we walk the pilgrimage, whether we help with the meals, whether we drive a van, whether we just donate our money or our time, if we unite ourselves with that spirit, that is how we will gain graces. And that is how we will sanctify our soul. That is how we will make good use of the time that God has allotted us. As I say, we have no idea how long God has given us. And so therefore, why not try to take advantage of every moment that we have? To utilize this. Because we will be held accountable for every moment that God has given to us. And so therefore, when we look at these opportunities, we cannot let them just go by. We can say that the time that God has given to us exceeds in value all the riches and the treasures of this world. Why? Because it is the time and how it's spent that will determine our eternal salvation. So we can amass all the treasures, all the fame, all the fortune, all of these things, and if we poorly use our time, it amounts to absolutely nothing for us. It will get us nowhere. Money, power, fame will never be able to buy heaven. And so therefore, what does that matter? If we squander the time that God has given to us, what will happen to our eternal salvation? And that is why I quoted for you at the very beginning. God created us without us. But he will not save us without us. God is not going to force anyone into heaven. That is why he has created us with a free will. And so it's up to us to utilize the time. But think about that quote. God didn't need our help to create our soul. But he wants us to help in our eternal salvation. In a sense, he demands that from us. To use our time wisely. To use our free will wisely. But if we squander the time that God has given to us, we will be held accountable. And for what? For pleasures in this life, for things, amassing treasures here that we can't take with us? Well, good is that. Many of the spiritual authors will say that this life here for us is the novitiate for heaven. It is where we work in order to receive that goal, that end that God has created us for. And so for us, time is not ours, it is God's. That is why we must say, we must think of ourselves as a pilgrim, as a wayfarer. That we truly are just passing through this life in hopes to get to the next. And if we do not work then toward our salvation and perfection now, when will we? If we do not work toward these goals at this time, it'll be too late later on. Because once we die, we are no longer a wayfarer. We can no longer merit for ourselves any longer. We are stuck at that point. And so, for us, we have to utilize the time that is given to us. We have to take advantage of what God has given to us. And so that is why it's a good reminder to us to live each day as if it were our last. I remember when I was first ordained, when I went to say a first mass for the Carmelites in Spokane, Washington, they made a stole to be used in the ministry, but they also put a little note on the top. And what they had put was very profound. They said, "Dear priest, offer this Mass as if it was your first Mass, your last Mass, and your only Mass." And that has struck me ever since then. I keep it by my kneeler in my room as a reminder that that is how we must view the offering of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That we still keep that zeal of our first Mass. But then also realizing that this could possibly be the only Mass we offer and how well we would want to offer it then. And so what a good reminder to us if we also put that into practice in our own lives. What if this was the only day that God gave you? How well we would want to try to live that. Or remind yourself of that. Keep that thought before your mind. And if we did, we wouldn't sin. And so let us pray for these graces to utilize this pilgrimage, but every day for God's greater glory. And then we can say with St. Paul, as we find in the epistle, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen."